religion anyway. I'm an enemy of religion, but I like gospel salvation. I like anything to do with the gospel, anything to do with worshiping the Lord, but I'm not a big fan of religion. The Pharisees was religious, but they were religiously lost, like most of the people in the world around us today. But I'm, you know, a lot of folks, they say, well, y'all's religion is a bloody religion. Well, I'm glad it is. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Amen.
That started back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and God had to cover their sins with the blood. And they've been that way ever since. And, so I'm thankful tonight for what I have in my heart. These same folks that think we have a bloody religion, they got all kinds of things going on in their religion, and they don't see nothing wrong with that. But I'm just grateful for the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. I want to preach a message tonight with the help of the Lord on staying focused on the real thing. We're living in peerless times. Paul said in the last days, peerless times would come. Yes. If they're not here yet, I sure don't know if I could stand it when they get here. We've had things happening. I told my dad yesterday, I said, if somebody would have told me 20 or 25 years ago that this world would be in the shape it's in now, I'd have said they was crazy.
Yes.
I'm serious. I mean, when I was a child growing up, things was just, times was hard, but things were better. You know, I mean, we didn't have the things we have today, but we didn't have the problems we have today either. With progress comes trouble. Anytime you have progress, you got other things going on that's not so good as the progress. And there's an old song, I can't find anybody that's got the words to it. Can't even find anybody besides me that ever heard it, and I might have dreamed it, I don't know. But I'm thinking the quartet that me and Miss Carol used to play for sung a song called "We're a Modern Age of Progress." Said we're paving our way to a burning hell with modern age of progress. And that's exactly what's going on. But I want to tell you something tonight. If you're going to stand for Jesus in these last days, it's going to be a problem. I mean, it's not a problem if you keep your eyes where they're supposed to be. But now if you start looking around and start listening, our kids sang a song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear."
Amen.
I want to tell you something, you better be. They say you be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I'll tell you something. Some things you see and you can't unsee it.
Right.
And I'll tell you, those things are oftentimes bad for us. But in John chapter number 1, verse number 35, the Bible said again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We thank you for the Holy Scripture that's able to save and able to keep us. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy. God, I thank you, Lord, for your leadership and your guidance through the Holy Spirit tonight. God, I ask you just to be with us as we go through this remaining part of this service. Father, anoint this preacher tonight. Help me, Father, that, God, that I could preach the way that you would have it preached. And Lord, you know I can't do anything on my own, but through Christ I can do all things. God, help us tonight. Father, touch hearts. Cause people to realize, Lord, what we need in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible said in verse number 35 and 36, and this is where I'm going to, verse 36, where I'm going to be taking the message from. And the Bible said in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And there's an explanation point behind the Lamb of God. This wasn't something John didn't just look out there and say, behold the Lamb of God. He said, behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That taketh away the sins of the world. I'm glad tonight. It's something to get excited about. If you're going to stand for Jesus in these last days, in these evil times that we're living in, I believe we are in the last days. If I ever believed it before in my life, I believe it tonight. I'm looking for Jesus just any moment to break through the eastern sky and call His church home. I'm looking for that. I'm expecting that. I'm anticipating that. And I wonder how many more people are. It's easy to say you are, but it's something else to actually know and believe down in your heart of what you're actually saying. I tell you, we can say a lot of things that saying something don't make it so. Everybody just about, I say 99% of people in the world today will say, I'm saved. But I know that's not so, because Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow's the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few be that find that way.
Amen.
And He said, broad is the gate, and wide is the way that lead to destruction, and many be that find that.
Yeah.
And so I know tonight, from that scripture, that many people are going to hell and few people going to heaven, and yet everybody you talk to will say, I'm saved. Saying don't mean anything. It's what kind of life you live and what you've got in your heart and what kind of anticipation that you have about your life. If we're going to live for the Lord, we're going to stand for the Lord, there's things that we're going to have to do. And we're living in times that are evil, and times that, just like today, another school shooting. You say, I don't know why these things goes on. I do, because of sin.
Amen.
That's all it is. I don't know what the excuse is for the one today. I've not heard, but the majority of them that you hear about, it's some boy that his girlfriend dumped him, and he just went to school and started shooting people. I mean, that's what it seems to be, the biggest majority of the time. Well, we had girlfriends when I was in school too, and they dumped us too. But on tape, we never killed anybody over it. You just go out after school and have a little fist fight, bloody somebody's nose, black somebody's eye, and then the next day you're friends again, and nobody died over it.
Amen.
If a girl dumps you, she ain't worth having anyway, so what's the point in even fighting? I don't even know why we was fighting over it. You're not going to change her mind. You're not going to get her to come back. Matter of fact, she'll probably feel sorry for the other guy if you beat him up, and she'll take him home and doctor his wounds. Wasn't any benefit in it, but that's as bad as it got. Now they want to kill somebody. And you know who I blame that on? Well, of course, it's the devil. But listen, it wasn't like that. Even when I got out of school, it wasn't like that. It's getting worse and worse all the time. But I remember when a woman by the name of Madam Madeline O'Hara put petition and got prayer and Bible reading took out of school, and it's been going downhill ever since. I want to tell you something. The devil is on the warpath tonight. He's after God's people, and he'll get you too if you're not careful and watching every step that you take. We're living in evil time. And listen, the devil's got all kinds of devices to get you. And he's inventing new ones every day.
Amen.
But you know something? The biggest problem that we have, I think, is that we don't watch where our eyes are roaming to.
Yes.
And we don't watch where our ears are listening for. You know, there's folk, I believe, that go to church for one reason and one reason only, to hear all the gossip they can and to see everything bad that's going on in the church. And then they go off and they can talk about it and they've got something to think about. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to know what's going on in bad in the church. I don't want to hear gossip. That's not what I come for. I come to the house of God for one purpose and one only, and that's to worship God, lift up the blood in the name of Jesus, and try to be a blessing to those round about me. And maybe if everything goes right, I'll have a blessing too before I leave. I used to come in church and I'd pray, God bless me, God bless me. And then one day I realized you're praying backwards, and I started saying, God bless Brother Ross, God bless Sister Carol, God bless Miss Francis, God bless Miss Christy. I want to tell you something. If y'all get blessed, I will be blessed. I mean, there's no way that I can be in a blessed congregation without being blessed if my heart is right with God.
Amen.
The devil's inventing new things every day. And something that I saw here this week, a friend of mine put on the internet, he posted something that was a picture of a man holding a sign that, like a protest. There's people all around him, and his sign said, if Jesus comes, we'll kill him again. And I thought, what a fool. I mean, that is an absolute fool. Listen, this man didn't kill him the first time. He wasn't even thought, man, that's 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you something, nobody didn't kill him then either. Had he not laid down his life, he would never have died. I find in the Word of God that the Bible said that he was hanging on the cross, and the last thing he said was, Father, it is finished. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He could have lived until today, hanging on that cross, had he not surrendered and give up.
Right.
Nobody killed him. He said, no man take my life, but freely I give it. Amen. And if I give it, I've got power to take it up again. And I'm glad that he gave it. And I'm glad he took it up again. And I'm glad that is the plan of salvation completed. And I'm saved tonight because of it.
Amen.
What kind of a fool would say, if Jesus comes, I'll kill him again? I looked at this website. There's websites dedicated to getting rid of Christianity. They said it's time to get rid of the Christians. There's people out here in this world today that are after us. They are trying their best to stop us. You know something? I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just going merrily down the road, me and Jesus, and I'm happy with what I am, and I'm happy with my Christian friends, and we get together and we just be a blessing to one another. But we really irritate people, and we're not even trying to, but they're still irritated and agitated by us, and we're not doing anything. I'm not doing anything to bother the world. But yet the world is agitated because I'm here tonight.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, and it's going to get worse.
Right.
It's going to get worse. These websites, and I went and looked this website up. Everything on it is about getting rid of Christian people and why they think Christian people are dumb and stupid and all that. Well, if you think that, just go on, mind your own business and leave me alone. Somebody said, you're a nut. I said, yes, but I'm screwed on the right bone, so let me alone.
Amen.
If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to have a determination to start with, because listen, these things are going to get worse and worse and worse all the time. This world is it's an awful place to live.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of like it around here. But I tell you, I'm liking it less every day. And I'm looking for that place that Jesus went to prepare for us. That is a place where he said the sun ain't never going to set. There ain't going to be no need for a sun in that place, because ain't never going to be no night. It's just going to be one long continuous day. I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. People today, they say, well, I hope Lord don't come tonight, because I just got a new job, man. I'm making some good money. Man, I'll tell you something. If that's your thinking, I'd get my heart adjusted, because either you're not saved, or you slipped, or something's wrong with that kind of thinking. I'll label that in my category of stinking thinking. I mean, that's what that is. Listen, there's about four things that I want to mention tonight that we're going to have to do if we're going to live for Jesus in these last days. And I intend to live for Him. I have every intention, when the trump of God sounds, if I'm still on the ground, I intend to still be preaching the Word of God. I still intend to be attending the house of God. I still intend to be trying to spread the Word to a lost and dying world. I intend to still be serving and worshiping and praising the Lord as long as I'm able to do so. There's about four things I want to mention tonight. There's probably a lot more, but it's just four things I thought about today. First thing we need to do is keep our mind and our eyes centered on Jesus.
Amen.
Now you start looking around, and you start looking at what the world's doing.
Yeah.
And you know something? The more that you look at what the world's doing, the more allure and attraction that it'll have for you. And the more pulling power that it'll have. And if you keep looking at it long enough, it'll come to the point that the world is going to look a lot better than Jesus. And then you know what? You're out of here. But I'm glad tonight that if I keep my mind and my eyes centered on Him, I tell you, you keep watching Jesus, you won't have time to look around anywhere.
That's right. Amen.
I thought about Adam and Eve. You know, God told them, said, you can eat any tree in the garden except that one. The tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil, whatever you want to call it. I believe the Bible said it's a tree of knowledge, maybe. But He said that is the only tree that you're not supposed to eat up. And you know something? I just don't believe that Eve was just walking through the garden one day and the devil tapped her on the shoulder and said, hey, come here and look at this tree. I think Adam and Eve probably talked about it. Eve probably, somebody said God didn't tell her, He told Adam. I think Adam told her. I believe He said, you see that tree over there? Yep. Well, don't ever look at it again. Just leave it alone. Stay away from it. And I tell you, it's on the other side of the garden. We're going to stay over here. We're going to keep a wide girth around this thing for that tree. We're not going to get near it. She said, okay, Adam, that's what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, one day, she walked down through the garden and she looked. She said, boy, it is a pretty tree.
Yeah,
you start looking at things, and then maybe the next day she said, I'll just take a little closer look at it. Because boy, it is beautiful now. And I know God said don't eat of that. Yeah. And I'm not going to eat of it, but I just want to go and see it. When you start going to see things that you shouldn't see, that's when you're headed the wrong way. And I can just imagine this. Now, it's one of those things from Hutchison's version. The Bible don't say this, but I imagine she just kept getting closer and closer each day until the devil finally, the serpent, said to her, hath God said for you not to eat of every tree in the garden? And she said, we can eat of all of them except that one. And he said, the day we eat of that, we're going to die. And the serpent said, you won't surely die. Now he's got her attention. And she just keeps looking, keep getting closer. And the first thing you know, and you know how it is, when you start get into something that you ain't got no business being in, and you know you don't. You say, I need to just leave that alone. I don't even need to go over there. I need to stay away from there. And you're just getting closer and closer all the time. And the first thing you know, you say, I know I shouldn't touch it. And the next thing you know, you reach out and grab a hold of it.
Yeah, amen.
If you'd have stayed away from it, you'd been okay. But see, we're not real good at staying away from things we ain't supposed to be next to sometimes. And I imagine Eve got that thing and ate of it, and she said, man, that's pretty good. And I'm still alive. Then she went and gave it to Adam and said, look here, Adam. And see where I took a bite of that? Nothing happened to me. See, the devil, listen, he is after you. If they would have kept their eyes and their mind off that tree, they'd have been all right. And I know that there was a tree of life in that garden too, because God said after they sinned, he said, we better put them out of the garden, lest they also take the tree of life and live forever. That was what he intended for them to do anyway. And they could have ate of the tree of life and nothing would have happened. But that ain't the tree they wanted. Listen, John said in the 36th verse, he said, in looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Looking on him as he walked. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, consider him that endured such contradictions. What kind of contradiction? Well, the Pharisees was always saying, you're not really the Son of God. And we're going to stone you to death for even saying that you are. That was a contradiction. He said, I've come from heaven. They said, we don't believe that either. They contradicted that. They brought the little woman to Jesus that was caught in the very act of adultery and said, the Bible said, or the Word of God, the law said to stone her. What do you say? And he said, him that was without sin, cast the first stone. And listen, this is a contradiction. Every place, every way, every time that Jesus turned, somebody was there to contradict him. A sick person came once and he said, your sins are forgiven. And they said, that's blasphemy. Nobody can forgive sin except God. And Jesus said, well, is it easier to say you're healed or your sins are forgiven? It don't make any difference how I say it. But you see, they was always contradicting everything that he said. So don't expect people not to contradict what you say. You talk to people, and I'm hearing it more and more all the time. I mean, not just this website that I've stumbled up on, or I didn't really stumble on. I saw the thing posted and went and looked at it. I guess I ain't stumbling up on it, but I'll tell you something. Things like this, I heard somebody was mocking and making fun of Vice President Spence because of his testimony that he gave the other day that he was a born again Christian. And apparently, I heard it, I don't remember everything he said, but apparently he said, I talk to Jesus every day. And somebody said, I don't have a problem him talking to Jesus, but when Jesus starts talking back to him, that's where I draw the line. Listen, if your heart's right with God, he'll talk to you too. Not in an audible voice. He might you, he never has me, but he talks to me through my heart. He talks to me through the Word of God. He talks to me through the preacher. He talks to me through the Sunday school teacher. He talks to me through the songs that's sung. He talks to us. And these people said, I don't have a problem him talking to Jesus, but I got a problem with somebody's hearing voices in their head. Well, if you got saved and was living right, you might hear some of your own. But you see, this is just getting to be an ongoing thing, constant. And the Hebrew writer said, looking unto Jesus. And consider the contradiction that he went through and of the sinners that was against him. We shouldn't be amazed that people don't just love us and hug us up for what we stand for. They think we're a bunch of idiots. I think they're fools. The Bible said only the fool saith in his heart there's no God. And I'll tell you something, I was thinking along these lines. And you know something? If I live for Jesus, or if I live a good, holy life all my life, and I die and find out there ain't nothing to it, I've not lost anything.
Right.
Matter of fact, I want to tell you something. I told my wife and I was talking the other day. I said, you know something? It's amazing to me how people that live a clean, wholesome, godly life, they're so happy they got few problems, and the problems they have just don't weigh them down, don't get them down. I mean, they just go happily through this world while those that are out here partying all the time and living in sin, and they're cussing and fussing and fighting and feuding and all this, they never have any happiness. They live a life of misery. And I want to tell you something, even if there was nothing out at the end of the way, I'd still take my life over theirs. But if I get there and find out there's nothing there, no big deal, I've lost nothing. But if they get there and find out there is something there, they'll know it. As soon as they drop off into hell, they'll say, uh-oh, there was something to this.
Yeah, amen.
I believe Madeline O'Hara already knows. She knows the rest of the story now.
That's right.
Because she'd been dead for a long time. Somebody killed her, buried her in a shallow grave somewhere out in Texas, and I think it's an accident that they even found her. I mean, they didn't intend for her to be found. Somebody tucked her away privately. But I want to tell you something. The devil knowed where she was, and God knowed where she was. And I believe I know where she is now. Listen, we've got to keep our eyes and our minds on Jesus. We've got to keep our thinking straight. And keep it on, concentrate on Jesus.
Amen.
You know, if you're talking to the Lord, you ain't got time to talk to the devil.
Right.
If you're talking to Jesus, you know, I can't talk to somebody and listen to what somebody else says. If I'm talking to Jesus, I'm not hearing what the devil says. I just need to concentrate on keeping my mind and my eyes and my ears on Jesus. Another thing we need to do is watch those other people around us that's living and following the Lord. And there is some. I thank God for this church. I mean, there's people in this church that I've been here now, I guess going on 6 years, maybe over 6 years, and I'm the new kid in town. These people been here 35, 40 years, maybe 45 years. I don't know. Hey, some been around here a long time. And you know something? I'm pretty sure y'all going to just keep going. And you're just going to keep doing what you're doing. And so you know what? I'm going to keep my eyes on you too. And if I see you doing it, I'm going to say it must be okay. And so, you know, that will help me. If I just follow, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
That's a pretty good rule. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Now if I quit following Jesus, you need to switch over and find somebody that's still following Him. Listen, the Bible said in Judges chapter number 7, old Gideon, he went down to fight against the Midianites, and God's done whittled his army down to next to nothing. He started out with 33,000 men, I think, and God said, you got way too many. He said, man, have you seen them? I mean, there's a million of them over there, and I got 33,000. That's too many. He said, yep, tell everybody it's scared, go home. 30,000 of them left. And then he said, you still got too many. He said, man, you run off, you run my whole army off, and you still say I got too many. Yep, because it ain't the battle's not yours. You see, that's what we got to remember. The battle's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. And so God said, take them down to the brook and I'll try them down there. And everybody drinks by cup in their hand, put them in this line. Everybody gets down lapped like a dog, put them over here. And he had 300 on one side. He said, that's the ones that you need to take. And Gideon looked at that big crowd and said, you mean I can't take them either? Nope. Nope. It's not in the big numbers. It's in those that's following the Lord. And so Gideon, he got these 300 men together and he gave them all a pitcher. And he gave them all a trumpet. And he gave them all a lantern. And they got out here and they's fixing to set the battle in array. And in the 17th verse of the 7th chapter of Judges, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do.
Amen.
I want to tell you something tonight. As long as I'm following Jesus, you look on me.
Amen.
Now if I quit following Jesus and you look on Brother Ross or Brother Woody or Amen. Brother Bob, or find you somebody else to look on, but Gideon said, I know what's going on here. Yes. You look at me. You do what I do and everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Listen, if we follow the Lord, everything be okay.
Amen.
He said, you just follow me. Listen, we need to keep our eyes on those that we have confidence in. I had a lot of people come through my life that I've had a lot of confidence in. Some of them been former pastors. Some been Sunday school teachers. Some been deacons. Some been just lay members, choir leaders. Some been, they just from all walks of life in the church, and I've had a lot of confidence in them because I saw the life they lived for Jesus, and I saw that they never missed a lick no matter what. They was Johnny on the spot. Every time the church came together for service, they was there, and most of the time they was there early. Sometimes, especially on Wednesday night, it's hard for us to get here on time. We usually are on time. But sometimes we run pretty close. But I want to tell you something. And I told Brother Woody this the other day, and I've shared it with some of the rest of you, but I heard a man say one time, he said, early is on time. On time is late. And late is unacceptable. And if we'd follow that, this we need to concentrate on getting to the house of God early, not late. And I know sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, man, you wouldn't want to be riding me sometimes. I feel sorry for my wife sometimes. But I said, boy, there ain't much traffic out tonight. She said, thank God. I pray there wouldn't be. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we make record runs from Powell to here. I keep expecting that somebody'd be watching me, but right now they're just watching over me. But listen, we need to keep our eyes on people that we have confidence in. You know how you get me to have confidence in you? Do what the Lord says to do. Do what's right. Do what you know the Bible said to do. And if I see you doing those things, I'll have confidence in you. I've told you before, it's hard to impress me. But if you're living for Jesus, I'm impressed.
Amen.
I'm impressed. I don't get impressed by your fancy cars. I don't get impressed by your fancy homes. I don't get impressed by you walking around with money falling out of your pockets. I don't get impressed by... those things just don't impress me.
Amen.
Never have. But I am impressed by you carrying a Bible and reading that Bible and living by that Bible and doing what that Bible says to do. That impresses me a lot. We need to follow those that's following the Lord and look at them like Gideon said, look on me, do what I do. I want to tell you something. Third thing, keep your eyes on the true man of God. And what I'm saying is, if a man's stand in the pulpit preaching the old-fashioned gospel from the King James Bible,
Amen.
And he's preaching it straight and he's preaching it right, then you keep your eyes on Him and you follow Him. Because I tell you something, if God's blessing him and leading him, that's who you need to follow. I remember the first pastor that I ever remember, and I didn't know a pastor from a lay member. I was just a kid, but I remember him, the preaching that he did. I remember that. I don't remember things that he said, maybe all the time, but I know one thing, he was always there. He was always standing up. He'd preach till he'd sweat till you could have wrung water out of him. I mean, I'm telling you something, he was on fire for God. He was a man that just stood and stood straight, stood strong, and he just preached. And I'm telling you something, you back him up in the corner, I believe he'd have preached his way out of it. I'm telling you, he was a man of God, a true man of God, and I've known others since then that have been like that. They just stood firm, stood strong on what the Bible said, and I'll tell you something, if they're doing that, I'm going to watch them.
Amen.
A true man of God, he won't tell you what you want to hear. He'll tell you what God wants you to hear.
Amen.
Maybe I told you. My wife and I were dating. Been a long time ago. And I went to him, Pastor, Brother Bell. And I walked up to him after church one morning. I said, Brother Bell. Or I said, Preacher. That's what I called him, Preacher. We didn't call him by their first name back then. That's disrespectful. We didn't even call him as a child or a young man. I didn't even call him brother. I called him preacher. That's what he was. He was a preacher. And I said, Preacher, you think that it would be okay for me to take my little girlfriend to the movie picture show? And he looked at me and he said, I can't answer that. Why don't you talk to God and see what He says about it? And whatever He says, that's what you do. Well, that's the last thing I wanted to hear, because I was already pretty sure what God would say. That's the last person I wanted to talk to. I wanted to be justified in something I wanted to do, and my true man of God would not justify me. And he didn't tell me not to, but he didn't give me the answer I was looking for. He didn't say go ahead either. He said talk to God and see what He says. You know, that's where we mess up so many times. We don't talk to God and see what He says. A true man of God will tell you, He'll give you the right advice. Go talk to God about it and see what He says. Well, I did. We didn't go to the movies. If you get a true man of God in your life, follow him.
Amen.
Follow him. More than one. I mean, hey, I'm not saying just pick one out and follow him. Listen, any man that's preaching the Word of God. I go to the Preacher's Fellowship first Tuesday every month. And there, I think last month we had, 37, I think, preachers in that meeting. And I'm learning to know some of them. Some of them I've known for years, Brother Langston, and maybe a couple more that live around Knoxville. And I know them, and I've been around them. I'm acquainted with them, and I know they're true men of God. But I'm meeting others that are carrying the same book, preaching the same gospel, and living the same life, and walking the same walk, and talking the same talk. And listen, those are the people I need to be looking at and keep my eyes on and do what they do.
Amen.
We all need an example, but we don't need a bad example. We need a good example. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 3 and verse 4, and Peter fastened his eyes on him, talking about the man at the beautiful gate, lame. He said, alms, alms. And Peter said, look on us. Peter, in Acts chapter 3 here, he said, Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. This man, you know what he did? He looked on them. Because he thought he was going to get something. And he did. He got a lot more than what he bargained for. He thought he was going to get a few coins and a little cup or a box or a sack or something. He thought he was going to come out of there with a few pennies or something. He came out of there leaping and praising God and running and went into the temple thanking God that God had touched him. Peter said, look on us. But Peter didn't heal him. They thought he did. They took Peter in chapter number 4 and took him into the Sanhedrin. And he said, hey, wait a minute. If we're here because of what happened to him, let me tell you right now, I didn't do it. Wasn't me. It was Jesus that you crucified and hung on a tree, and God raised him from the dead. By him doth this man stand here. Listen, we need to look on men of God. Look on those that are worth looking on. They ain't a whole lot of them around. There's not a whole lot of men today that are standing in pulpits across the country that I would even... I mean, I wouldn't walk from here out on the front porch, hear everything they got to say. Right. And I'm serious, and I don't mean to sound mean. I'm just telling you that if they're not preaching right, I'm not going to listen to them.
That's right.
I don't want to hear them. Nothing they say.
Bless you.
Listen, this man looked on Peter. And you know something? I bet he looked on Peter a lot after that too.
Amen.
I bet you, Peter, when they went to pray, I bet they looked around. And there's that man that was raised up and healed. They went to the temple to pray, and there's that man. I believe that they went and did something for the Lord. And they look around, there's that man. They was in the Sanhedrin court on trial, and looked around, and there's that man. Listen, I believe that when Jesus got a hold of him after he looked on Peter, I believe he looked on Peter a lot after that. Not that Jesus or Peter healed him, but Peter was the one that God used in that position at that time.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on them that's following the Lord. John said to us, he said in 1 John chapter number 1 verse 3, he said, that which I have seen and have heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. See, I want you to have fellowship with us. I'm going to tell you the things that I've seen and heard. What have you seen and heard? I've seen the sinner come lost in their sin and bow their face before God and stand up after they prayed and accepted Jesus, and God made a whole complete makeover for them.
Amen.
Every once in a while, these women go and have this thing, I think they call it a makeover. I've seen pictures before and after. And the after always looks better than the before. But you know something? After they go to bed that night and wake up in the morning, they're going to look like before again. That's not something that's going to last. That's not something that's going to last. I heard a preacher one time, he said, a man gets married, he marries this beautiful woman, goes on their honeymoon, they go to sleep, and they wake up the next morning, he looks over at her and he don't even know who he's with. Who in the world are you? You don't look like you did last night at the wedding. See, our makeovers don't last. But listen, I want to tell you something. When God makes you over, He makes a makeover that lasts.
Amen.
He does something to us that'll last. And Peter said, I'm going to tell you what I've seen and heard, and we declare unto you that you might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know something, when you're saved and born into the family of God, you not only have fellowship with the congregation, you have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the important part of it. Fourth thing, keep your eyes on the King James Bible. They're coming out with new versions or perversions, I call them, all the time. And not only are they coming out with new perversions, but they're redoing the perverted perversion.
Amen.
I mean, they constantly, listen, the King James Bible, the reason I believe in it so strongly, it only about 7 years ago celebrated its 400th year. 1611. And 2011, it was 400 years old.
Yes.
Unchanged.
Right.
And yet you look at these new modern perversions and they change them about every 5 or 10 years. They go back and rewrite it because, hey, I didn't do that exactly right, so I'm going to redo it and mess it up even more than it's messed up already. I'm going to take out a few more verses and change a few things and try to mislead as many people as I can. Listen, you can have that junk if you want it. I'm not going for it.
Amen.
I'll keep my King James Bible, thank you. This is the one that the preacher preached out of when I got saved. It's the one the preacher taught me out of when I was a young Christian. It's the one that I preached out of my first message. The one I taught Sunday school out of the first time I ever taught. It's the one that my pastors all down through the years have used. And I think I'll just stick with it.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on the King James Bible. Psalm 119 and 114 said, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." This is my hope. His song said, "My hope built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness." My hope is built on this book right here. Everything that I hope for, everything I look for, everything I believe in is based on this book right here.
Amen.
And I tell you, if it's wrong, then everything's wrong. But I'll tell you something, I'm staking my life on it. It's how much I believe in it. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on those that are following the Lord. Keep our eyes on the true men of God. And keep our eyes in the Word of God. And if we'll do these things, I don't care how many websites they come up with. I haven't had any desire to. I'm curious. But I have no desire to go on that website and just read it. It almost, just pulling it up on the computer, on the internet, I seemed like I was sinning. I mean, it just didn't seem like what I should be doing. I was just curious if this was a real website or somebody just made this up. And it is real. And I felt, when it popped up, I thought, man, I feel bad about that. I mean, this just don't. Not even just to look at it and read what, I just want to see what they're doing. And it made me feel dirty. I tell you something, I don't want to get on there and study none of it. I don't want to look at any of it. I've seen enough to know that what it is, it's trying to destroy Christianity. And then that, what I did read on the front page said this is not a hate website. And I'm like, that is exactly what it is.
Amen.
And apparently you believe it is, or you wouldn't have to say that's not what it is. Listen, I want to tell you something. The devil, people say, well, the internet's bad. The internet's not bad. The internet's okay if it's used for the right purpose. But then you've got those that use it for this purpose. And that is bad.
Amen.
But, you know, the devil's inventing what I said. He's inventing ways, new ways. He's always tried to trip us up, but now he's getting real technical about it. And if you get on there and start messing around with that stuff, I tell you something, it would be real easy for the devil to get in your head to think maybe they're right, maybe there is nothing to this Jesus. Maybe he did. I noticed one thing they had, if you want to read about the history of the real Jesus. I did. It's in this book right here.
Amen.
I already read about the history of the real Jesus, and I like what I saw. He's a Savior. Not only is he a Savior, he's a Redeemer, and he's coming back one day to get me and take me home. That's all I need. That's what I know about him. While he comes tonight and get a song ready, this is the message. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on those that are following the Lord, on the old-time preacher man, and on the Word of God, and you'll be just fine.